down and give a good description of this important book. Let's start right where we left off last week. Oh, I forgot to bring that up. I forgot to bring that fob up. Right there on that white cable. Yeah, I need that. Ike is multitasking. I mean, this brother's multitasking. Thank you, sir. Brother Ike is a good man. Okay. We'll pick up with verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. So this is one of the angels that actually poured out the wrath of God during the tribulation period, that is now talking to John and telling him, come here, I'm going to show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. Now, something in this phrase is that this is the only place in the Bible that the church, the redeemed church in the Golden City, this is the only place that they are called the Lamb's wife. It's always the bride of Christ, the bride of Christ. But here, now that the marriage supper of the Lamb has ended, it's called the Lamb's wife. Now, there's a difference between a bride and a wife. You cannot even have the ceremony yet, and the bride begins to walk in, and they say, here comes the bride. Well, she's not even married yet, but they call her the bride. But once that marriage is consummated, now she becomes a wife. And so at this point, we see the redeemed church of the living God referred to as the Lamb's wife. I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Now, we're going to go into all the description that the Bible gives us concerning this city, but I'll tell you up front, it's a very large city. It's tremendously large, and it's made out of solid gold. The streets are made out of gold. The gold is of such a quality that it's transparent, that you can see through it to some degree. And the building is massive. It's massive. So it says here that this new Jerusalem is descending from heaven, out of heaven from God. It would have to, because we don't have gold of that quality on this planet. We just have regular rock gold. But even if we did, in addition to that, we don't have that much gold. The New Jerusalem is 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles deep, and 1,500 miles high. It's massive, made out of solid gold. So it would have to descend out of heaven from God, because it can't be produced with the gold that's on this planet. And incidentally, gold is just a rock. Gold comes into existence when a star novas, when it bursts, and it kicks chemicals everywhere, and that's where gold comes from. And the reason gold is expensive on this planet is because it's a limited supply. The stars that have novaed in the time past, some portion of those chemicals came to this earth and formed into gold. But you can't make more of it. That's why it is expensive. And John begins to describe the New Jerusalem. He says, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. When we read these descriptions, it's always good to slow down. Because everything that he puts there, there's a reason for it. Now, you may not be able to figure it out, you know, in the study that you're in that year, but as you continue to learn, as you continue to mature in Christ, more and more, when you look at the details, you start seeing things that you've never seen before. So he says, this city having the glory of God. What is meant by this is that the way that Moses' face shined when he came off of Mount Sinai from the presence of God, that's how this city has the glory of God. The way that Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, that he was illuminated by the glory of God, this glory of God is now in this city. And you'll notice that the city is not referred to as a it and her light. It's called her light because the resurrected children of God who have been saved down through eternity, who are now in incorruptible bodies, they inhabit this city. This is our internal abode. Jesus said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. This is what he's talking about. So having the glory of God, and I've got a note here, Revelation 21 verse 23, and I know that we're jumping ahead, but I want to just bring this out while we're looking at it. Verse 23 says, and the city, talking about this city, had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, because the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. So now think about that. If we didn't have the sun and the moon, we wouldn't be able to function on this planet. I mean, it would be dark all the time. And matter of fact, our eyes wouldn't even work anymore because our eyes need light. Well, this city, it doesn't need the sun or the moon because the glory of God illuminates it from just the glory of God. And it goes on to say, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone. Now, if you'll remember back in Revelation chapter 4, it's a description of the throne of God. And the Lord is sitting on the throne. If we look at chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, John says, immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, the throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardonyx stone. So then if you looked at the throne of God in heaven as it has been, he describes it as being a jasper. But now this city is even like a jasper stone. And the reason is, this is God's abode now. This is where he's at. This is the new heaven, if I could use it that way. This is where God will eternally dwell with his resurrected people on this planet. Now, when you think about this, it's mind-boggling. God is moving heaven, which incidentally, heaven has been defiled because Satan has been there. And he's moving heaven to abide on this planet, and the resurrected church, we will constantly live in his presence. As you think about that, in the old covenant, and even, yes, in the old covenant, you had to walk into the temple and you had to walk past the laver, and then you had to walk into the holy place, and then there was a veil there, and only the high priest could walk into the holy of holies, into the presence of God. The resurrected church will eternally live in the presence of God. The Lord gives us this so that as we live our lives, we don't look at death as being the end game. This is it. You know, I finished. It's death. And with this knowledge, we now need to look past death because there's more going on. Death doesn't end anything. We are eternal beings. So her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like unto a jasper, clear as crystal. And it had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereupon were the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Now, John is just going to give us his description of what he sees and what he is able to take in as he's taking it in. So the first thing he says is that I saw a wall around this city, great and high. Now, I'm going to jump down to verse 17 because I want to define better this wall. Verse 17 says that he measured it, measuring the wall. He measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. So 144 cubits is 215 feet. That's how high this wall is, 215 feet, approximately a 20-story building. That's how high it would be. That's the wall. That's just the fence around the city. And so it had a great and high wall and had 12 gates. So, of course, the city is has a square footprint, and we'll read here in a moment. It has three gates on each of the opposing walls. And the gates had 12 angels, meaning that each gate, there's an angel stationed there at that gate. And on that gate are written the name of the 12 apostles, the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. So three gates on either side, on all four sides of the city, an angel standing at every gate, and one of the apostles or one of the tribes of Israel has their name on each of the gates. In fact, it goes on in the next verse to say, on the east three gates, and on the north three gates, and on the south three gates, and on the west three gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So we have all of these gates, three gates on every side of this fence that goes around the city. And I'll show you what that means here in a minute. Let's deal with this second phrase first. The wall of the city had 12 foundations. I looked this up. And no time in the history of mankind ever has a city had a foundation. A house can have a foundation, but a whole city, one foundation, it has never occurred in the history of man. But it's about to. That he's going to make a city. And again, this is a city above and beyond any city that man has ever known. It'll sit on 12 foundations. We've not seen a city sit on one foundation. This one sits on 12. And in them, the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Now, it was originally supposed to be Judas Iscariot should have had his name on one of these foundations. But he lost his place. And so his name will not be, he's no longer an apostle. His name will not be on these 12 foundations. And it's, no one really knows, will it be the Apostle Paul or will it be Matthias? No one knows who God accepts in terms of having that 12th position with their name on the temple. How many think it would be Matthias? How many think it would be Paul? Yeah. I personally think it's going to be Paul, not because Paul wrote the Bible, but because when they picked Matthias, they rolled dice. They just rolled dice. They cast lots, said, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, you're it. I don't know if God accepted that or not. Maybe he did. No one knows. But I think it will be probably the Apostle Paul. Now, another thing, in them, the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Not the 12 apostles of Jesus Christ, the 12 apostles of the Lamb. As we look at these last two chapters, which stretch out into eternity future, this phrase, the Lamb, is used seven times. It lets us know that Calvary didn't end at the Battle of Armageddon. But Calvary goes on into the future. The lamb will, the sacrifice will be remembered going into the future. And so we see seven times the perfect number of God, the lamb, is mentioned in these last two verses. So let's talk about the distance between these gates. The side of the fence is 1,500 miles. 1,500 miles. There's three gates. That means that every gate, if they're evenly spaced, is going to be 375 miles away from the next gate. Are you with me? So that if there was a gate here in Dallas, Texas, the closest next gate is Corpus Christi. And then if you went in the opposite direction, the closest gate is Wichita, Kansas. That's the spacing of the gates on one side of this city. It's large, isn't it? And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure, meaning this angel that poured out the plagues, he had a measuring device, and the gates to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lied 80, and the length is as large as the breadth. So what he's saying is that the footprint of this city is a perfect square. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. That equates to 1,500 miles. One side of the city, one side of the wall of the city is 1,500 miles. And the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. So what he's saying is that this city is pretty much a cube. It's pretty much, it's as tall, it's as wide as it is deep as it is tall. It's a square, it's a cube. So let's take a look at the size of this city then. This is a map. Can you see the United States? This is not the best. The details are a little washed out. Can you make out what we're looking at? So if you had one side of the city sitting in Edmonton, Canada, the other corner would fit right into the Mexican border. That's 1,500 miles. And on that 1,500 miles, you'd have three gates, just three. So if you don't live right by a gate, you're going to have a drive. But then if you had, if you measured out from the Mexican border and you went east, you'd be in Tallahassee, Florida. That's the other side of the city. And so if you put the whole footprint on the United States, it would go all the way up to Ontario, Canada, all the way over to Edmonton. Is that what that says? Yes. And so that's the footprint of the city. Now, of course, the city's not going to sit in the United States. This footprint is going to sit right on top of Jerusalem, where Jerusalem is now. And that whole area over there will be the New Jerusalem. They're fighting tooth and nail to try to make it be something else, but that whole area is already slated, will be the New Jerusalem, because Jerusalem sits there, but this is the New Jerusalem that will sit there forever and forever. That's quite a city, don't you think? Now, the part I didn't point out, I'm going to point it out right now. If you were in space and you were looking at the planet Earth, this white line, can you see that white line around it? That represents the Earth's atmosphere. The Earth's atmosphere goes up about 5 or 6 miles, breathable atmosphere. If you took this city 1,500 miles high and set it on the Earth, it would look like this. Most of the city is outside of the Earth's atmosphere. Now, I'm sure that if you ask any council of scientists today what they thought about this, they would explain to you the physical impossibilities of this being able to happen. It would wobble, the Earth would wobble off of its axis and fly into the sun, and we'd all be destroyed. They'd give you every reason in the world. But God says this is what's going to happen. That he's going to put this New Jerusalem on the new earth, and it will sit in such a way. Doesn't it challenge you to get your logic out of the way to be able to grasp the word of God? You know, one time he said that a virgin was going to conceive and have a son. And I'm sure people were wrestling with that. But you and I today, we don't wrestle with it at all. We take it as a matter of fact. Of course that happened. He said it would. Well, the same God said this would happen. Uh-oh. Here we go. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits. And as I said, that's 216 feet, roughly 20 stories. But now get this now. Think about this for just a minute. I looked it up. If you take a mile, 1 mile, 216 feet is 4% of 1 mile. I don't know what the percentage is of 1,500 miles. So you have this city going up 1,500 miles, and way down here you got a fence just this little, just going all the way around, just the little bitty. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. So what he's saying is the wall is made out of jasper. I don't know what distance between the wall and the actual city starting, but the city is made out of gold. And again, the quality of the gold is such that it looks like, it's like clear glass. We've never even seen gold of this quality. But yet God has got plenty of it, evidently, because he's building the whole city out of it. And the foundation of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, and the second was sapphire, and the third was chalcedony, and the fourth an emerald, and the fifth sardonyx, and the fifth, and the sixth sardius, and the seventh chrysolite, and the eighth beryl, and the ninth topaz, and the tenth chrysoprasus. I looked this word up when I was preparing tonight. I went out on the internet to see how do you pronounce this word. And I finally found it, and the guy who pronounced it on the end, he didn't know how to say it either. it was obvious he didn't know how he was making it up. And the 11th jacinth and the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Now, this is wonderful descriptions he's given here. He's saying there's 12 gates. He's told us that, three on either side of this city. And of these 12, these several gates, all of them are made out of one pearl. Now let's think about what that means. Each of these gates is 375 miles apart from the next gate. In a city that's 1,500 mile length. So in my mind, I'm not seeing a little bitty gate like this. I'm seeing a large, massive gate that you'd walk through. But let's just say that the gate is just only as big as that exit door. Let's just say that's how big the gate is, which that's pretty small for this size of a city. Then the scripture is saying, even if it's that size or bigger, that gate is made from one single pearl. Pearls come from oysters. How big is the oyster to make that big of a pearl? You see how God has just moved off of the planet. We only know what's on this planet, and oysters, you know, they're nasty little things, and they get pearls out of them, and the pearls are little bitty. But God has resources out in that universe that we know nothing about. And so from wherever that he got it, a pearl, one pearl, represents a single gate, which the gate is probably going to be bigger than that exit door. So there's that. And then the streets of the city was pure gold. You know, think about that. When you live in like a pretty good neighborhood, the street is made out of cement. When you live in not as good of a neighborhood, it's made out of asphalt. When you're outside of the city, it's made maybe out of rock. And then it's just the old dirt road that's where God is at the very top. The streets are made out of gold. This is why it's important for you and I as we mature in Christ. Don't get overly involved in, you know, gold and silver and diamonds and all of that. It has no value except the value that the human race puts on it. When you think about gold and diamonds and silver, they're just rocks. God just threw them out in the dirt. They're like, they have no value at all. And so here he makes the entire street. Notice the word is singular, street, not streets, street. So evidently there's a street that services a 1,500-mile perimeter city. And that whole street is made out of gold. Are you seeing this? And I saw no temple therein. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And so this is a departure from anything. When you saw the people of God in the wilderness, they had the tabernacle. And when you saw in the Old Testament after the wilderness, you saw Solomon's temple or Herod's rebuilt temple. And there was always a temple. And what the people of God did, they came into the temple area, and that's where they worshiped. And they came to the brazen altar, and that's where they sacrificed. And then the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies. Well, God is saying, all of that is gone in this city. There's no temple because the Lamb is the temple. The Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. So what this is really saying, if you can see it this way, what was the Holy of Holies in the old system, this city now is the Holy of Holies. And in this city, everyone is in the presence of God. It doesn't even need a sun or a moon or any light because the glory of God is just radiating in this place. It's going to be better than here. I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, because the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And there that term is the Lamb again. So he's saying emphatically, now get this, John is seeing this in an open vision. And the one thing he notices, well, that city's not going to need the sun or the moon because there's light radiating right from the glory of God that's engulfing this city. And again, this is where the presence of God will be now. This is where the presence of the Lamb will be. Another thing that I noticed about this city, and I actually did a little bit of research on this, you have the 12 gates that go around the wall going into the city, and you have an angel stationed outside of every gate. But you don't see any angels inside of this city. The angels are outside. At least that's what the scripture shows. Now, will there be angels inside? I don't know. It could be, but I can't find it in the scripture. One place that an angel is described inside of the city. The only thing that we see inside of the city are human beings, resurrected, immortal human beings who abide there permanently, and then representative from the nations bring their glory into it, but you don't see an angel inside of the city. But so the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, because the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Oop, I went the wrong way. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of the city shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. So we see then this first phrase, and the nation of them which are saved. Now, this is not indicating that there are some nations at this point in time that will be saved and some nations that won't. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is these nations are the nations that were saved from the prior world, from the prior times during the tribulation. These are the people who are saved. And the kings of the earth, meaning that there's still some type of human government on the earth because there's kings. Of course, Jesus is the King of Kings, but there's some human government still in play for those people who lived through the tribulation, had children, they grew up through the tribulation, but they're not necessarily immortal. Because every human being doesn't turn immortal at some point. It's the end of the church age. And so the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. This is reminiscent of of Solomon's kingdom. Remember when Solomon, nations would come and they would bring all type of things into the city, all type of goods and all type of animals. And if you'll remember, the Queen of Sheba came to meet with Solomon and she saw everything that was going on. She said, there's no breath. The half of the story hadn't been told. And so that was a type of what Jesus' reign will be like at this time. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. No, normally you say you won't shut the gates day and night, but there's no night. It's never night. Because God is always there, and he's always constantly causing the place to be illuminated. Now, here's something else. Do we need to sleep anymore? You know, 1/3 of your life is spent sleeping. But at this time, there's no night. Is there sleep? We don't know. We know angels don't sleep. There's no record of an angel ever sleeping. We know God doesn't sleep. The living creatures at the throne of God that cry out, holy, 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 they don't sleep. And so it may very well be that sleep is done away with in the world to come. Certainly night is going to be done away with. And they shall bring their glory and honor of the nations into it, just meaning all of the things they bring as gifts to the Lamb. And there shall in no wise enter in anything that defiles, neither whatsoever worketh an abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Okay, so the first phrase, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defiles, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. Now, you'll remember when the sons of God, the angelic host, came to present themselves to the Lord, Satan came right in with them. So heaven has been defiled by the presence of Satan, even though he's in the lake at this time. But he's saying emphatically, there will be no defilement coming into this city. He said, there will be no fallen angels. There will be nothing that is an abomination that comes into this city or maketh a lie. But only they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And again, it appears to me that angels don't come into this city because they're not in the Lamb's Book of Life. Those who are in the Lamb's Book of Life are those who came through the blood, put their faith in Jesus Christ before his obvious kingship reign, and are immortal, incorruptible, and live forever. That's whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so it appears that is all who will come or at least abide in the city, although it did say earlier that some from the nations will come and bring their glory and their presence, their gifts and such to the master. Incidentally, this term, the Lamb's Book of Life, the actual rendering for that is the Book of the Life of the Lamb. That's what it actually says, the Book of the Life of the Lamb. Okay, I didn't tell you about this earlier, but we are right. We had enough information left that it was too much to put all of it in one night. And so if we go past this point, there's not enough for another night. So we're going to stop right here so that when we come in next week, we're going to finish up the book of Revelation and go through the rest of it. Then the following week, we're going to just take off, and there'll be no Bible class that following week. Next week is the finish of the book of Revelation. The following week will be no Bible class at all. And then the third week, unless the Lord says differently, we're going to start the book of 2 Corinthians. Now, we've never done Corinthians before. I've had the material on the shelf for some time, and I've just refreshed it recently. So we'll begin in 2 Corinthians, and we'll do just like Revelation, verse by verse. We'll just work down through the entirety of that book. So we're going to get out just a little bit early tonight. So get home, get under the comforters, and just enjoy the 20 minutes earlier you got there. Sister Simone, would you please?
And thank you, Pastor. So I was just thinking about how beautiful this city is going to be just by the way it's being described. But remember that anything that we think of, it's going to be far beyond greater. So as much as we can imagine it now, it's just going to be so much more greater than that. So, but we do thank you so much for being out with us tonight. We hope that you enjoyed the Bible study. And if you'll stand, I'll pray and dismiss us. Father, we thank you so much for bringing us out to hear your word, Lord. We ask that you would help us to remember what great things you have in store for us, Lord. Help us to dwell on that and just be so grateful and thankful, Lord, every single day, knowing that what we see now, everything is just going to be so much more wonderful when you come back. And we just thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.